If you'll turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning with verse 20. Excuse me. John 12, 20. John 12, 20. The Lord tells us here, He says, "Now among those who went up to worship at the festival, there were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whosoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name.' Then a voice came from heaven, 'I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again.' The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered, 'The voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself.' He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, 'We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?' Jesus said to them, 'The light is with you for a little longer, while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. Pardon me, walk in the light. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, help us to heed it every day. Lord, you tell us it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, help it to pierce us every day that we may be more like you, Lord, be more sanctified, more holy, more set apart. But Lord, to love you more fully every day. Lord, all because you loved us first. Thank you, Father. Be with us and give me the words to preach this morning. And may we all serve you truly every day. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. We come here to John chapter 12 and verse 20. And he says, "Now among those who went up to worship at the festival," they're coming up there to worship, praise God. And he says here, were some Greeks, non-Jews or Gentiles. It says there were some Greeks there. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Praise God. What a thing. They just walked up to the disciples and said, "We wish to see Jesus." How wonderful it would be for us to want to see Jesus every day. These people was coming there to worship God, but they wanted to worship God fully. They wanted something else. They knew there was more to it. They knew they needed Jesus. We all need Jesus every day. This whole world needs him, and we as God's children ought to be beacons of his light wherever we go, beacons of the wonderful story, gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Praise God. Philip went and told Andrew. And then Andrew and Philip both, it says they went and told Jesus. Now they said, "We wish to see Jesus. We want to see you, Jesus." What did he say? Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." That hour is coming. It was time for him to die on the cross of Calvary for us. The hour was coming, he says. Very truly, in verse 24, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. They asked, they wanted to see Jesus. But when we want to see Jesus, when you truly want to be a part of God's family, when you truly want to know him, it's going to cost something. The Christian walk, giving our hearts and life to Jesus, is going to cost something. He says here, the hour has come. For him, it cost Jesus his precious blood. It cost him his life. But praise God, the third day he rose again from the dead so we can walk and be risen with him. But it cost us something too. What's it cost us? Not money, not a payment. I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies. We've got to die daily, the Bible tells us. Be a living sacrifice to God. He must increase, but I must decrease, John the Baptist told us, and we ought to be living that same prayer. Lord, help us. He says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. If that old grain of wheat, when it's sowed out there, it's got to die in order to produce fruit. We too, if we want to produce the fruit of the Holy Ghost, if we want to produce God's ways in our lives, we're going to have to die to ourselves and live unto God. It's not us that lives, but Him who lives within us. He says here, very true, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. It's doing nothing. It's no good. It'll wither up in the sun. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. If it's planted, God wants to plant us so He can have a harvest. We can have a harvest of the love of God, the harvest of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. He says this, it remains just a single grain on its own, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. He says here in 25, those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If you love your life here above or here below more than Jesus, you're going to lose it. It's just temporary. It's going to go away. This life has a purpose. God's got us here for a reason. But we also need to remember, this life is going to come to an end. Our true life, eternal life, and life more abundant here below, it's only found in Jesus Christ. It's only found in the Lord. Those who love their lives, lose it. If you're holding on to your life down here below, it'll be lost one of these days. What are you living for? Jesus said, I came to give them life, and life more abundant. Not giving us a bunch of brand new fancy cars or a bunch of wealth. He's talking about the spiritual wealth. It's more glorious than all those things. He'll provide our needs physically, but He wants to give us spiritual blessings. He says here, those who love their lives lose it. Those people said, sir, we wish to see Jesus. If they want to truly see Jesus, if we want to truly see Him this very day, we have to die to ourselves. Ourselves got to be like that wheat falling down. It's going to die. Therefore, it can bring forth much fruit by living eternally, living as children of Almighty God. Die daily, the Bible says. Take up your cross and follow me. If someone's not going to take up their cross and follow the Lord, Jesus said, you have no part with me. We have to lay aside our own ways and pick up God's ways. Praise God, it's a process. Praise God, we don't do it alone. When we come to Him in faith, He takes care of it. When we come to Him in faith, He redeems us. He sets us free. He saves us, but He also wants to sanctify us. And we need to be cooperating with the Holy Ghost, cooperating with Him to be holy. Help us, Lord. He says here, those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Not just hating yourself, moping around. No, loving God so much that everything else is blurred because you see Him so wonderfully. When we see Him more clearly, we can see everybody else more clearly out of love. He says here, those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. It's something eternal. It's our treasures up in heaven. If it's laid up in heaven, if our treasure's there, it's for eternal. If we love God more than anything else, that's eternal. This old world's just temporary. We're passing through here. It's important as we pass through to live for God and show His love. But in the end, our eternity is found in God and God alone. He says here, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Whoever serves me must follow me. We got to follow Jesus. We got to follow Him wherever He bids us go. We don't know what tomorrow will hold, but we know the Lord knows everything. He's already got tomorrow took care of if we'll trust Him. Whoever serves me, let's hear, Jesus said the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. We're serving together with Jesus, those around us, and the Lord God Almighty. Whoever serves me must follow me. We remember here when Jesus is telling these people this, these Greeks and these people, He's getting ready to die on the cross of Calvary coming up. He's getting ready to stretch out His arms for the greatest love He could for us. And He's about to tell us more about that. Whoever serves me must follow me. And there I am. There will my servant be also. We want to be with Jesus. Won't it be a glorious thing when we see Him face to face? When we walk the streets of glory with Him. Well, it's a glorious thing when right now we can have fellowship with Him. Right now Christ could be our best friend. Right now we can walk and talk as that hymn in the garden says, He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I'm His own. What a joy we can share. Let's share that joy with the Lord. How do we do it? by following him. We have to die to ourselves, our wills, our wants, our ways, put aside for the ways of God. Help us, Lord. He says here, whoever serves me, the Father, will honor. You know, there's a lot of titles of honor down here below, a lot of things that can be bestowed. We want a Heavenly Father to honor us. How? Serve the Lord, he says. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence, the Bible tells us. The Father will honor. After he tells us this in verse 27, now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I've come to this hour. Jesus was saying we got to follow him and follow the Lord and serve him and serve the Lord. Serve those around us. And what's he say? He talks about his death, about what's coming up. Serving the Lord's not always sunshine and roses. There will be trials and temptations down here. But always and everywhere, every moment of every day, we can have the peace of God. We can have the joy of the Lord. No matter what our circumstances are, we can follow him in holiness and truth and love. Now my soul is troubled, Christ said. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I've come to this hour. Then people wanted to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus every day. When we truly see him, it cost us our ways and our life. Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. That's all of us. He says here, Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I've come to this hour. Christ's whole reason on this earth was for that very hour, to die for us on the cross, to take our sins upon himself and to give us his righteousness and redeem creation, that we can live as a new creation, the first fruits Christ is. He says here, no, it's for this reason that I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. He wanted the Father to glorify his name. We want to live for the glory of God down here below. We can look at our lives. The Bible says to examine ourselves daily. We need to die daily to ourselves, just like it's wheat, and we need to examine ourselves. We examine with the Word of God. It's amazing that life comes with this wonderful instruction manual. It's the Word of God, God's letter of love to me and you. It's his ways and his truth. It's his Word, the very Word of God, penned by his hand, by the Holy Ghost, through all these people. What a wonderful thing. 66 books in this thing. Each one of them penned by the same author, the Holy Spirit, through all these different people, through Moses, through Paul or John, as we're reading here. We need to read it and study it and listen and heed God and follow his ways, that we may truly, truly know his love. Help us to do that, Lord. We need to be like this wheat falling away, our ways falling out as we're planted, just like a tree planted by the waters. The hymn tells us in the Psalms, I shall not be moved. Don't let the devil move you about, but stay close, stay rooted in the Word of God. Remember the parable when Jesus talked about when they were sowing the seeds. Some fell on the thorns and thistles. Some fell on the pavement. But some fell on that fertile soil. We need to be falling on fertile soil. The Word of God needs to fall on fertile soil in our life. That way them seeds can die and grow again in new creation. We're a new creation, the Bible tells us. The old things are passed away. In our lives, the old ways are passed away when we're with Jesus, when we're saved, when we're being sanctified. The old is passed away. The new has begun. God makes all things new. In Revelation 21, he says, behold, I make all things new. How did he do that? Through the death of Jesus and his resurrection. How can we live in that? Through his death and resurrection. When we ourselves lay aside our own ways and take up Jesus' cross and follow him. He came for this very reason. Father, glorify your name. What a wonderful thing. He prayed, Father, glorify his name. We need to be praying, Father, glorify your name in our lives. Is there something in your life this morning that's not glorifying, that's not edifying, Heavenly Father? What did he say there? What did Jesus say? Unless that grain of wheat falls and dies when it's planted, our ways need to die out. Our ways in our lives need to be crucified with Jesus on the cross so we can live as risen people and live in newness, live in resurrection, not of rotting away, but of the new creation. When the fall was introduced, it didn't just introduce the fall of man and sin, but also introduced the decay of this world. We see when a tree falls down, it's cut down, left laying in the woods, it rots away eventually. But praise God, with Jesus, there's no decay anymore. When I die, when you die, our bodies may be thrown in a hole in the cemetery. But our spirit departs to be with the Lord. And on the last day, the dead in Christ shall rise. And the body and the spirit will be redeemed and glorified again in the new Jerusalem. We need to live as these glorified people right now, not waiting to serve the Lord, because there's the only time we've got right now. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible tells us. He said, Father, glorify your name. But sometimes glorifying God's name will put us at odds down here below. It's not his most glorious thing down here below, but it's always glorious with God. I'm going to share with you from a different translation of the Bible. I'm preaching from the New Revised Standard Version, but we're going to remember what the Bible says. Jesus said in Matthew, and this is from the Common English Bible, a different translation, but to serve the Lord and to die to ourselves is opposite a lot of times what the world wants you to do. What the world wants you to do is all full of the lustfulness, full of pride, full of envy, malice, murder, and strife. God says to flee these things. If we want to be truly happy in the Lord, truly joyful, we want to live in holiness. He says in Matthew 5, happy are people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed, because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of me, just as Christ received at the cross. He had railings against him by the people he was dying for. So too, Jesus said, this is how I was treated. Sometimes you'll be treated that way as well. He said, be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harass the prophets who came before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It is good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. Just like that old wheat seed, if it's not planted and it doesn't die and rise again, what is it? It's worthless. It's not growing anything. It'd just be thrown in the street, just as salt without its saltiness. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they may see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. But when we do the will of God, as it said here, happier people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happier people who show mercy. Happier people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Or how blessed, as some translations are, blessed, as others say. Blessed, happy, glorious things. But it sounds like a lot of hard times that Jesus has promised us sometimes. When we die to ourselves, it may not be the gloriousness of the world, but it is glorious in Heavenly Father's sight. It's glorious and holy before Him. Why is that? We're laying our ways aside, and taking up the cross of Jesus, taking up His ways, and bearing fruit for the Holy Spirit. We're living for Him. The world tells us all the time, this is what will make you happy. This is love. This is good. This is bountiful. But the world always has it opposite. Christ tells us, very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls on the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. All the world's happiness is nothing compared to the joy of the Lord. All the world's ways are nothing. It doesn't know love. We love Him because He first loved us. God is love, the Bible tells us. The world loves to use lust as love, but it's not the same thing. Lust is the devil's counterfeit for love. It's the perversion of love. God wants us to live in love. The world wants you to live in sin. It wants you to live in the gusto of the world, in the ways of the world, but it's all temporary. It's just like that old grain of wheat that's not planted. It's worthless. It's vanity. But in God's ways, we're always at peace when we put our faith in Him. We can have the peace of God when we lay ourselves aside, lay our ways aside, and live for Him. If it dies, it bears much fruit. We lay our ways aside and take up God's ways. It'll always work out for you. It'll always help you out. Not in the ways of the world, but in God's ways. Father, glorify your name, Jesus said. The will of God for Christ Jesus was to die on the cross of Calvary for us. It was a very painful event. I can't think of a more painful way to die than to be crucified. But Jesus did it willingly, out of love for us all, out of love for me, for you, and for the whole entire world. He did it out of love. We need to love God. Father, glorify your name. Let's do things for the glory of God. Bear this fruit. Lay our ways aside. Lay the ways of the world aside. Live for the Lord. It always pays off. Look at old Daniel. He's living in a pagan nation similar to we are today. He was kidnapped far away from home. He was probably about 14 or 15 year old Daniel. He purposed in his heart that he would serve the Lord. He would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat that was sacrificed to idols. He wasn't going to drink the king's wine and alcohol. He purposed in his heart to serve the Lord. We got to serve the Lord just as he did. And look what God did through his life. What an example. And what a wonderful blessing we see. Same with old Joseph, who purposed in his heart he was going to serve the Lord. We can do all these wonderful things. But unless we purpose in our heart to be holy unto the Lord, lay our ways aside, lay the ways of the world aside, and do God's ways. It's all in vanity. When Potiphar's wife had him in there, what did he do? He ran straight out of his robe. He ran straight out. He fled sinfulness. We need to flee sin. The Bible tells us to flee sin. Run away from it. Run away from the ways of the world and live for God. Put on the armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Glorify God in his ways. He knows what's best. He created us. As we read in our psalm, what did he say? He says here, "For it was you who formed my inward parts." In verse 13, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." Why wouldn't we trust him? Why wouldn't we trust God's word and God's ways? He knit us together in our mother's womb, didn't he? "I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well." Wonderful our works. "My frame was not hidden from you." He wasn't hid when we was being created. He did the creating for us. "When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them has yet existed. How weighty are your thoughts, O God, toward me. How vast is the sum of them. I tried to count them. They are more than sand. I come to the end, I'm still with you." God thinks about us. He loves us. That old deist teaching that has been affecting the church for 1,000 years of God's the great watchmaker. He just kind of tinkered with it and just kind of sat back and watched it run. That didn't happen. God formed me. He formed you. He formed us together in our mother's womb. He is involved in our lives and he loves us. He wants us to glorify the Holy Ghost, glorify the ways of God. Why is that? Because it's the righteousness, it's ways, it's truth, it's love. God knows me, he knows you. He knows more about anything than everybody ever could. Why does he tell us in the Word of God certain things are wicked and certain things are righteous? It's not out of hatred or meanness. It's out of love. He knows the fruit of it. What's the wages of sin? The Bible says the payment sin will give you is death. And if you follow that payment far enough, it'll give you eternal death. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through Jesus Christ when we put our faith in him. And he gives us eternal life through the blood of Jesus. Have you got your faith in him? Father, glorify your name. We want him to glorify his name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. His name is holy. It's hallowed. He is our heavenly Father. Let's live in that glorious name. We say we're Christians. Christian, that's Christ. That's the name of God's Son. We need not take that name lightly, but remember who we are, who saved us, and who we're children of Almighty God. He says there, after Christ said, "Father, glorify that name," when he said, "No, this is the reason I came, to die for us, to die for all of humanity," the voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it." God has glorified his name. He will be glorified. He's holy. He's righteous. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it." He's done it. He will. And I will glorify it. Again, praise God. He's glorified his name, and he'll do it again. He'll do it over and over again. What's the greatest thing God loves? To redeem a lost person, to redeem somebody. For your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life with the blood of Jesus. I have glorified, and that's how he glorifies his name most wonderfully. And I will glorify it again. He'll do it. Let's be part of that. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Back then, they still weren't listening. So often today, people don't listen. They're close. Oftentimes, when God spoke from the sky, there's a lot of thunderous noise, as we read in the Old Testament. But it wasn't just a bunch of thunder. Others said an angel had spoken to him. It wasn't no mere angel. It was Almighty God, Heavenly Father. But Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, Not for mine. People all over the time still say this day, well, if God would just speak for me, if he'd just shout down from heaven, I'd believe in him. Well, they wouldn't. These folks didn't. It's the same old, same old. Praise God. He's right here. Listen to him. Heed him. Listen to him. Others said an angel has spoken to him. They didn't believe it back then, but we have the option to believe it by God's grace, by his word. Jesus answered, the voice has come for your sake, not for mine. He wants us to believe him. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. The judgment of this world. What is the judgment of this world? Against sin, because sin must be atoned for. It must be judged. It must have its wrath that due suited unto sin. But Jesus took it for us, so we didn't have to bear that. We didn't have to bear the wrath of God for our sins. Why is that? Now the judgment of this world, God judged the world's sin on the cross of Calvary. Not only that, now the ruler of this world will be driven out. The devil's bound. He was driven out so the gospel may be preached, the gospel may be shared. He was driven out. He's seeking about whom he may devour, prowling about, as Peter tells us. But he's bound. He cannot make you lose your salvation. The devil cannot jerk anything from you. He can't jerk your salvation from you. You're held in the palm of God's hand. Now, you can forfeit it. You can throw it away and wad it up. But the devil, he can't steal you from God's hand. The only way you're leaving God's hand is if you walk out of it. Keep your faith in him. He always wants you there. The devil, he's bound. He's a created being. He's not the antithesis. He's not an equal party. It's not like a war of equal persons between God and the devil. No, the devil is a lesser being. God Almighty, he is king. He is King of kings, the Lord of lords. As the demons shouted when Jesus cast them out, what have you to do with us? Jesus, the Son of God. It's not yet time. The devil, all of them people, all of them angels of wickedness, the fallen ones, they know their fate in the lake of fire someday. They're defeated already with the blood of Jesus, and the final defeat will come on the day of the Lord. Jesus took our punishment for himself. He took God's judgment willingly. That way we could be saved. He says in verse 32, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Jesus was lifted up. Not draw some. Not God doesn't want just some and throw the others away. No, he wants everybody in heaven. He's invited you. You have a personal invitation at the seat of God's table. You have a personal invitation, your name on it, to be in heaven someday. When I'm lifted up from the earth, he was on the cross. I will draw all people to myself. Praise God, without him drawing, no one would be saved. Without his, John Wesley called the preventing grace, or as we call now the prevenient grace, God sends his grace out and is calling all people unto him. Will you answer that call? Will you answer that call? Then people was back then, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Are you listening to that call? He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. It wasn't just any death. He was lifted up on the cross. The crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Back then, with that phrase, they knew what that meant. They knew that would mean he was lifted up on the cross. He was going to be hung and die and killed. He says here, how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus said to him, the light is with you for a little longer. He was getting ready to die and rise again and then ascend. While you have the light, walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. This is a dark world down here sometimes. We are the beacons of God's light. As that old children's song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let's let God's light shine to us. Let's reflect his light. Let's bear it out. Let's show it forth, God's wonderful light. The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so the darkness may not overtake you. It wants to, but with God's light, it shines away. This dark, this is at nighttime, and we just light one of these candles. All that darkness is going away. Just takes one candle. Starting. You light another, light another. Let's shine God's light down here below. You're a city on a hill. Let's live for God's glory. He says here, walk while you have the light. If you walk in darkness, you do not know where you're going. This world doesn't know where it's going. Lost people don't know where they're going so often. Where's a lost person's final destination? Sadly, it's the place called hell. It wasn't created for people, but people go there because they refuse the Lord's gift of salvation. It was created for the devil and his angels, Jesus said. But hell hath enlarged itself to accommodate the numbers of people that's rejecting the Lord. It wasn't created for that. People often don't know where they're going, but we, as God's people, can be pointing them to Jesus, pointing them to their heavenly home, but not just waiting to serve the Lord in heaven, but serve Him in fellowship and love right here below. If you walk in the darkness, you don't know where you're going. They don't have any idea. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. Praise God, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we became children of the light. We're not children of darkness. Jesus told the wicked ones back then, the Pharisees, He said, "You are of your father the devil. Oh, Lord, help." But we're not of a father the devil. We're of our heavenly Father up in heaven, the one who loves us and created us and redeemed us. And anyone can be a child of God. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. Those Greeks came to Him saying, "Sirs, we wish to see Jesus." Jesus told them, in order to see me, in order to have a part in me, He tells us over and over, you've got to lay down your own ways. Lay it aside. Take up your cross. Follow me. You got to die just as that wheat. Not a physical death, but a spiritual death. Our ways must pass away so we can be redeemed and truly live as children of light. Do you believe Him? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise God if you do. His throne room of grace is always open. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become children of light. He's the light of the world, and we're to be His light. After Jesus said this, He departed and hid from them. Although He had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in Him. Isn't that sad? They didn't believe in Him. He performed signs and miracles. They heard the voice of Almighty God from heaven, but their hearts were still so callous toward the ways of God, still didn't believe. Verse 38 tells us this was to fulfill the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah. "Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" It's the power of God. And so they could not believe, because Isaiah also said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that they might not look with their eyes, understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." They were so blind, they couldn't understand with their heart and turn, and God would heal them. God wants to heal everybody. He wants you. He wants me. He wants us all healed. He wants this whole world healed. Isaiah said this because he saw His glory and spoke about Him. "Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it. They were scared for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God." That reminds me of the book of Acts. "They are almost a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." They believed it. They thought, this is true. But Jesus said, if you deny me before others, I will deny you before the Heavenly Father. If we're going to live as the light of the Lord, we've got to lay our whole ways aside. And our entire life must be focused, must be centered on Jesus Christ. If this seed that He's talking about there halfway dies, you're not going to have much of a plant. You still might as well be thrown around on the rocks. But if it's planted truly and falls itself, dies away, it can grow into that beautiful wheat plant to provide fruit for those around us, provide the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If we will truly lay ourselves aside and truly accept the gift of God, then there's a difference. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. Not halfway, not almost Christian, not a part Christian, but we need to be altogether Christian, altogether child of God. Lay our ways aside and follow Him. Then Jesus cried out, verse 44, "Whosoever believes in me, believes not in me," not only Him, "but in Him who sent me." That's our Father in heaven. "And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as the light of the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness." We don't have to live in darkness. It's optional, because God's made a way for us to live in light. Live in the light. We can see. We once was blind, but now we see. "I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." He's sending out the message. It's out there. Anybody can listen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on Him. Listen to what He says. "I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them." It wasn't yet time. Judgment day hasn't come yet. There's still time. He came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus isn't there to condemn you. He's there to redeem you. Come to him. A lot of people say, well, I'll come to the Lord when I'm cleaned up, when I can quit drinking, or I can quit being mean to folks. So you can go, their list goes on and on. Well, I can quit doing this and that. It'll never happen. You can't. You can't redeem yourself. Only the blood of Jesus. Come to him. He loves you as you are right now. But praise God, he won't leave us where we was. He won't leave us in our lost condition. He'll redeem us and sanctify us and make us new again, a new creation. The one who rejects me, he says, and does not receive my word, they has a judge. On the last day, that's judgment day. Right now it's not judgment day. Last day's judgment day, and he doesn't need our help. We're not the judge, but he is. On the last day, the word that I've spoken will serve as a judge, the word of God. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. It's all one, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I speak, therefore, I speak just as the Father has told me. This is the truth of God. It is the way. We can believe it and follow it. Lord, help us to do that. All the way back, they wanted to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus just as much. Praise God, I want to see Jesus. We can see him every day. I see him every day in his love. Spiritually, we see him through love and gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's all bow our heads and want to ask you. In your present condition right now, what do you most desire? What is your life centered on? Is it the Lord? Is it seeing the Lord's ways everywhere we go? Or is it kind of halfway seeing the Lord, or not even a little bit, just walking in darkness? Take a moment and pray to the Lord. And people wanted to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. But to see him, to have a part in him, we have to lay our ways aside and take up the Holy Spirit and his ways. When we lay ourselves aside, lay our selfish desires aside, and live for him, then we will have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Then we can know, truly know love and the ways of joy and peace. Take a moment and talk to the Lord. Father, glorify thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Use us and help us to always be kingdom people, Lord, kingdom minded. That we may, no matter where we look, Lord, we're not looking in darkness, not looking in the blindness, but Lord, living in your light and seeing your light and seeing your ways, Father God. Help it and grant it in Jesus' name, Lord, that we may truly glorify your name every day, Lord. Do not pass us by, but Lord, use us every day as you promised you would, Lord. That anyone who comes to you, you will in no way cast out. You'll never throw them away, Father. We thank you so much, Lord. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people, Lord. We thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much that sending Jesus, Lord. And Lord, he didn't come here to condemn the world, but he came here to save the world. And he is our Savior and Lord, our King and our ruler. And we thank you, Father God, for that. Guide us all through all things that we may truly be living sacrifices, truly laying our ways aside, setting our ways, not doing it our way, Lord, but our ways dying with Jesus on the cross, that we may live truly according to your word and truly love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Father. Glorify your name with us. Bless us all, and we thank you for allowing us to be here together this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's been a blessing to be here with you in the Lord's house. Let's all stand and